good afternoon, and this is DJ Shy John presenting the Kill Radio Weekly News. All right, we'll start the top of the news with Harper's Weekly Review, dated October 30, 2012. Hurricane Sandy struck the Caribbean, killing 52 people in Haiti and 17 in the Bahamas, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico, before moving northward along the U.S. East Coast. Amplified by the full moon, flooding began up and down the coastline on Monday morning as the storm merged with a low-pressure system coming in from the Arctic and a high-pressure system coming in from the northeast, then made landfall in the evening as a post-tropical cyclone near Atlantic City, New Jersey. "This storm has something for everyone," said a National Weather Service spokesman. CNN banned the term Frankenstorm from its coverage. Record storm surges struck many areas. At least 35 people died. An estimated 8 million lost power. More than 13,000 flights were canceled. A disaster area was declared in New Jersey and New York. Trading on the New York Stock Exchange was halted on consecutive days for the first time since 1888. The replica tall ship HMS Bounty sank off the coast of North Carolina, and Canada sent 50 electricians to help Vermont. "San Diego is gorgeous this time of year," tweeted Cindy McCain, wife of Senator John McCain, Republican, Arizona. "I'm in heaven." President Barack Obama returned to the White House from campaigning in Florida in order to monitor the storm, and Mitt Romney canceled campaign appearances in New Hampshire and Virginia. "We hear that perhaps Mr. Romney may do some storm-related events," said Fox News host Steve Ducey. "If you think right now, I give a damn," said New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. "Republican, you don't know me." Days earlier, Obama and Romney held a foreign policy debate in Boca Raton, Florida. "Our Navy is smaller now than at any time since 1917, said Romney. "We also have fewer horses and bayonets," replied Obama. A blimp reading "America Needs Romney" deflated after making an emergency landing en route from Boca Raton. In conversation with an editor at Rolling Stone magazine, Obama said that children between the ages of 6 and 12 wouldn't vote for Romney because they sense when someone is a BSer. And Romney made meatloaf on The Rachel Ray Show, and meatloaf endorsed Mitt Romney. In Mecca, nearly 4 million Muslims completed the annual Hajj. "Oh God, may we see Bashir al-Assad soon hanged or burnt, kicked out, or a humiliated prisoner," shouted one Syrian pilgrim. "Amen," yelled dozens of others. In Syria, a United Nations brokered four-day ceasefire collapsed amid fighting that killed at least 110. The Egyptian National Circus put on one of the first circus performances in the Gaza Strip since 1967. "I think they'll do the impossible to entertain us," said one Gazan. Egypt mediated a truce between Israel and Hamas following 2 days of Palestinian rocket fire and Israeli airstrikes. In Burma, battles between Rakhine Buddhists and Rohingya Muslims left at least 84 dead and 28,000 homeless. China blocked the website of the New York Times after the paper published an investigative report claiming that Prime Minister Wen Jiabao and his family had used their political connections to secure assets worth at least $2.7 billion. The Washington Post reported a March 2011 incident in which a Predator drone started its own engine despite its ignition being turned off and its fuel line closed. "I still think the software is not good," an Air Force squadron commander testified before an investigative board. The estate of William Faulkner sued defense contractor Northrop Grumman. the owners of Penguin and Random House agreed to a merger that would create the world's largest book publishing company. In Italy, six scientists and one official were convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 6 years in prison after failing to warn Italians adequately of an earthquake that struck L'Aquila in 2009, killing 309. "I still don't understand," said defendant Enzo Boschi, "what I was convicted of." The San Francisco Giants won the World Series, sweeping the Detroit Tigers in four games. David Stern said that Barack Obama is not as good as he thinks he is at basketball. And Romney advisor John Sununu suggested that former Secretary of State Colin Powell, a Republican, had endorsed Obama for president because the two men are black. "My party is full of racists," said former Powell aide Lawrence Wilkerson. The day after Romney released a TV ad backing Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch, Murdoch made controversial comments about abortion during a debate. "Even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape," said Murdoch, "it is something that God intended to happen." The Roman Catholic Church canonized its first Native American saint, Kateri Tekakwitha, a Mohawk who died in 1680. And U.S. company In Character pulled its Sassy Squaw Halloween costume from shelves. The FBI charged New York Police Department officer Gilberto Valle III with conspiracy to kidnap, cook, and eat women. "I am putting my neck on the line," Valle reportedly told a co-conspirator. Paleontologists working on the Hell Creek Formation project in Montana presented evidence of the delicate bites with which Tyrannosaurus rex ate the faces of Triceratops after tearing off their heads to get a nutrient-rich neck meat. A Brazilian woman sold her virginity online for $780,000. And an Australian man sold his for $3,000. Psychologists revealed that it probably isn't her, it's you. This article is written by Jeremy Keene. All right, now we go on to other news. I have an article here from the Business Insider. Retail, this is thebusinessinsider.com. Walmart now has too many disgruntled employees to ignore. Walmart's employees went on strike this month for the first time since the retailer opened 50 years ago. Supply chain employees in Louisiana, Maryland, and Texas have all staged walkouts. More are expected to join before the annual investor meeting in Bentonville, Arkansas, tomorrow. While a few disgruntled employees are hardly enough to topple the world's largest retailer, there is reason to believe that years of discontent are catching up to Walmart, Josh Edelson at Salon reports. These protests are a game changer, according to Edelson. Before these work stoppages, the other stuff had been so predictable from Walmart's point of view, Columbia University political scientist Dorian Warren said yesterday. They've always had activists coming to Bentonville. They've never had a disruption in their supply chain. Warren, who's co-writing a book on Walmart, said the strikes by warehouse workers and store employees are a game changer. There was before, and there was after, and we just crossed that line. One man interviewed by Salon is making $8.90 after 3 years at Walmart. Other complaints include dirty working conditions and inadequate access to health care. More Walmart supply centers across the country are organizing strikes. For their part, Walmart is going to make a big announcement tomorrow in response to the retaliation. Now, related to that story, I have a little news item here from Yahoo Finance. This is by Ashley Lutz from the Business Insider. the three biggest myths about retail workers. Employees at Walmart, the world's largest retailer, are striking for the first time in 50 years. It's hard to believe it took so long. Walmart is a massive corporation, yet many workers receive low wages and are denied benefits. But a couple of big myths about retail workers keep the public from believing they should receive higher health care and benefits, according to a report by Stephanie Luce at City University of New York and Naki Fujita at the Retail Action Project. These perceptions are dangerous because they affect more than 14 million retail workers. Here are some of the biggest myths that hold retail workers back. Myth number one, most retail workers are teenagers with little education or experience. Not so, according to the National Retail Federation. 70% of workers are older than 25, and more than half have a college education. Myth number two, retail workers are part-time and aren't entitled to health care benefits, sick days, or time off. The majority of retail workers are full-time, more than two-thirds, according to the NRF, yet don't get any benefits. Myth number three, retail workers are young people with few responsibilities. About 30% of people surveyed by Luce and Fujita supported dependence on their income. Yet the average hourly wage was only $10 an hour, with many employees making far less than that. These myths about retail workers hold millions of people back from getting better pay and benefits. The truth is that most employees rely on their jobs to make a living and support a family. If the public realized this, retail workers, like those at Walmart, would have more support in their plight. And another little shorty here, this from the HuffPost Business, October 30, 2012. Las Vegas Sands money laundering probe may end in settlement, report. New York federal officials and Las Vegas Sands Corporation are having talks aimed at settling a probe into whether the casino operator failed to report millions of dollars of potentially laundered money transferred to its casinos by two gamblers, according to a published report. Representatives for the Justice Department and the company held settlement talks as recently as last Thursday, but have yet to reach an agreement, the Wall Street Journal reported Sunday, citing unidentified people familiar with the case. Prosecutors could compel the company to pay $100 million or more in penalties, as well as file criminal charges against at least one Sands executive, according to the Journal's report. Calls to the Las Vegas Sands and the Justice Department were not immediately returned on Monday. The company told the Journal earlier this year that it has done nothing wrong and was cooperating with investigators. According to the newspaper, the Justice Department's investigation centers on whether Las Vegas Sands broke federal law by failing to report money transfers by Chinese-born Mexican businessman Zenil Yi Gun and Asaf Umar Siddiqui, a former executive at Fry's Electronics Incorporated. Yi Gun transferred about $85 million to casinos owned by Las Vegas Sands in the middle of the last decade. He lost more than $125 million at Vegas casinos, according to an affidavit cited by the Journal in a report earlier this year. Federal prosecutors reportedly say Yi Gun's use of Mexican exchange houses should have been a warning sign of suspicious activity to Sands employees. In July 2007, Yi Gun was indicted in the U.S. on charges of trafficking the illegal stimulant methamphetamine. The drug charges were dismissed in 2009. Prosecutors are reportedly investigating more than $100 million in transactions through the casinos by Siddiqui, who was arrested in 2009 for accepting illegal kickbacks. He pleaded guilty to the charges and is serving a 6-year prison sentence. Las Vegas Sands Corporation owns the Venetian and Palazzo resorts in Las Vegas, as well as similar resorts in Singapore and Macau. Macau is a former Portuguese colony near Hong Kong. And one last item. This is from Miami New Times blogs. Fuming foodie companies spend $41 billion to keep consumers in the dark. By Ily Goyanes, Monday, October 29th. There's a bit of an uproar over California's Proposition 37 scheduled for the November 6th ballot. Another 20 states are considering similar measures. It's a simple proposition requiring that all genetically altered foods be labeled as such. Genetic modification can mean anything from manipulating the genes of a tomato to cloning a cow. Advocates of the proposition feel everyone has a right to know if what they're consuming is natural or not so much. So what is the problem? Label declaring that their Pop-Tarts are genetically modified, the box will go back on the shelf and be replaced by a pint of strawberries. It stands to reason that there might be a decline in sales, but as we used to say in grade school, too bad, so sad. The American Association for the Advancement of Science claims that such labeling would mislead and falsely alarm consumers. It probably will mislead some consumers, like the ones who watch the internet. I get confused by algebraic equations. Who cares? Since when does the release of knowledge rely on whether everyone will understand it? Do ignorance, fear, and a smaller profit margin justify keeping the public in the dark? I'm sorry, but the last time I checked, the only justification for keeping full transparency from the public was in matters regarding national security. And a decrease in fruit by the foot sales doesn't fall under that category. I want to know if I'm eating a mutated mango, a cloned calf, or a hybrid habanero. The fact is that yes, some of these mutations may not be unhealthy, but as with most things in life, only time will tell. The truth is that we won't know if there are any adverse effects for years to come. Will everyone stop eating corn and soy products because they have been genetically altered? We all know that's a big fat no, but we should be aware that we are choosing to do so. That would be just as big a yes. Enemies of Proposition 37 have spent $41 billion trying to defeat the measure. When companies try to keep us in the dark about ingredients, all it does is foster even more distrust. That makes me wonder, what's the big freaking deal? Well, that's what I'm here for, people, to make you wonder. I'm sorry to say that is the end of today's Kill Radio Weekly News. And in the meantime, I want to thank you all for your indulgence. Have a great week, and stay the heck out of the news.